2021 will be remembered for many things, but for many people, it will also be the 90th anniversary of the Guide Dogs charity here in the UK. All those years ago, from just a couple of dogs, look where the charity is now, the independence it brings and the variety of services as well. So what about the history and the charity today and indeed the celebrations? Tom Wright, their chief exec, is here. Thank you very much for joining us, Tom, and congratulations on the 90th anniversary.
Yes, we've come a long way really since Muriel Cook and Rosamund Bond started training dogs back in 1931 in a lock-up garage in Merseyside. So very humble beginnings now to an incredible charity, by far the largest guide dog charity in the entire world. If you think that we now have about 8,000 dogs, either through guide dog partnerships or puppies in training or retired guide dogs or dogs in training, it's an enormous universe that we're now managing across 27 sites, 1,500 paid staff and 14,500 volunteers. And it really wasn't much until the sort of 1941 and after the Second World War that we started to really gather momentum. And we moved our new home to Edmunds Cote Manor in Leamington Spa. And in 1956, we really started recruiting volunteers to raise our puppies. So yes, it's been a rapid growth over the last few decades.
I suppose the past year or so has been difficult for many individuals, charities, organisations, and for yourselves as well. That must have been a huge interruption to the work you do, especially training the dogs and the puppies and so on.
Yes, it has unfortunately been a massive interruption. We couldn't undertake residential training, so most of the new partnerships we create with guide dog partnerships, we do in a hotel. We bring several clients in together, and of course, during COVID, we couldn't run these residential training programs. So that's had, you know, a big impact on our ability to complete partnerships. We had to temporarily stop breeding early on in the COVID pandemic until we could find new ways of undertaking that with the various protocols in place. And indeed, of course, the socialization of our puppies has been extremely challenging. Our puppy raisers, a key part of their role is to socialize our puppies from a very early age, and many of our puppies couldn't just get that socialization, and indeed then came into training much later, often nearly 2 years old, by which time it's quite challenging to reintroduce some of that missed early life socialization. So all of this has impacted very significantly, and that's why the number of partnerships that we created in 2020 is significantly down. We're sort of gathering pace in 2021, and it won't be till 2022 that we're sort of back up to pre-COVID levels, but we're still on plan to get to 1,000 new partnerships. We were doing nearly 700 just before COVID. We want to get up to 1,000 new partnerships every year by 2023, 2024, and get the waiting list back down to a few months. That is a key ambition for us. Immediately, you know, we went into lockdown. We had three immediate priorities: to do as much as we possibly could to support blind and partially sighted people, making sure our staff and volunteers were informed and supported, and ensuring that we could sort of weather the storm to continue our services into the future. And we really took some of that time to make big investments in our services going forward. We're well advanced in a £30 million investment in our facilities. We've got new sites that we just opened up in Bristol. We've got a redevelopment of Redbridge. We've got redevelopment of many of our sites around the country. Lots of investment in our digital platforms and in the way we train and develop our dogs and puppies and some of the technologies around how we measure behaviours and breeding. So in a way, it's been a sort of big hiccup in the history of the organisation, but we're determined to come out of it stronger and to grow more rapidly to provide more of our life-changing services.
I'm a guide dog owner myself, so I'm well aware of the difference, you know, having a dog by your side can make. You know, and the training has changed and developed over those 90 years, and again, so has the organisation. Do you think, although there was a lot of negatives about the pandemic, there are perhaps some positives for the organisations, perhaps some changes that were forced upon you that perhaps are ones you're going to take forward even further?
There is a sort of silver lining to the cloud, one of which was the even more rapid adoption of sort of digital approaches to our work. And we have had to make sure every member of our staff is fully able to work remote, has got up to date and modern digital equipment and that our platforms really can sort of drive our future success. And that's really important. As you say, the way that we raise our puppies now, we've modernized through what we call puppy raising for excellent partnerships, and we'll have apps that we can use with our volunteers to help support that. STEP uses the latest sort of positive reinforcement type methodology in the way we train our dogs. We've now got apps for our staff to use to support our STEP approach. And ETHOS, which is the way we measure the behaviours of our dogs in training. And a huge amount of work we're doing around genomics, what we call Born to Guide. All of this has been accelerated in a way by some of the digital applications and digital rollouts that we have progressed. And indeed through that, our interface and contact with our volunteers and our service users has increased significantly. We've been forced to use digital formats of communication rather than perhaps more traditional analog and face-to-face applications.
We are, of course, in the 90th year then. What kind of things do you have planned for this year?
We have a great anniversary year animated film called Flash. Flash was one of our very first puppies trained back in 1931. And Flash, the animated film that celebrates our amazing dogs and our volunteers and the way we raise our puppies, has already received 11 million views, which is an extraordinary level of viewing. And one of our challenges has been the sort of socialization of our puppies before they go into training during lockdown. And of course, they're not exposed to some of the normal day-to-day activities that we would have seen pre-COVID. So Flash is a good reflection of the work our puppy raisers do. So that's one great example. We've also been celebrating, and I've had a personal role in this because we look after in my home as volunteers, a guide dog mum called Dolly. And she had 10 puppies in January, almost the first puppies in our 90th anniversary, born right at the beginning of the year. And one of her puppies is called Nico. And Nico is also a sponsor puppy at the moment. And Nico is named after Nico Lykov, who was really Captain Lykov, as he was known by many, actually a Russian emigre, who was one of our very first trainers back in the early 1930s and helped establish guide dogs. We've just also opened our new regional centre in Bristol, and we were joined by the Countess of Wessex, who's just succeeded Princess Alexandra as our royal patron. We've got a 90th anniversary garden at the Chelsea Flower Show. Our guide dog appeal in October will have a 90th theme. Our People Awards on the 11th of September will really showcase the tireless work of our staff and volunteers. And lastly, we've got lots of Guide Dog 90th merchandise available, lots of local celebrations and lots of opportunities to engage with the Guide Dog's family around the 90th. So a lot going on this year.
And a fantastic year as well. Who knows, Tom, won't be long till we're perhaps discussing the centenary. In the meantime, though, if people would like to find out more about Guide Dogs, the services, the celebrations, of course, what's the best way to do that?
Well, it's all on our website. And for our volunteers, we have what we call VIP. So they have great access. And I've been delighted to see the big growth in people accessing our VIP services. We also introduced at the beginning of this year our guideline service, a telephony-based service. And traditionally, many people would contact our local offices. We've now brought that together under a national line, and we can then cross-refer back out through that. And, of course, our website. So much of this will also be on social media, on Instagram, our Facebook pages, on Twitter, etc.
Fantastic. Well, just head along to guidedogs.org.uk for all the info and all the celebration news as well. Tom, congratulations once again, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's my pleasure, Alan. Thank you very much.